Magnus is someone who's not really a man of habits, a man of techniques.
Tell me about this more, how discipline can hurt.
Parent has to trust the kid more than telling what to do. I think love is that kind of sentiment which has no side effects. Once you have love in your heart, you won't burn out.
And the book, The Surrender Experiment, that you said it has big impact on you and this is how you live.
I got a message from a friend saying, here's a link, you can sign up. It's a walk around the river Narmada. You spend 8 days, no money, no gadgets, no books, just a bag with some clothes and you're walking along the river.
Now he is very different. Every month Sagar is changing.
I just realized that you needed absolutely nothing to be happy.
After traveling last 11 months.
Chess Base India is my spiritual way of living because it keeps throwing challenges at me all the time. It keeps questioning my long-held beliefs.
My champions, today our guest is one and only Sagar Shah. Many knows him as an international master and chess-based India guy who built one of the biggest YouTube chess channels with millions of followers. To me, he is one of the most profound individuals I have encountered. He has consistently pursued his passion and mission from the very beginning of the journey, evolving not only in his approach to everything, but also on a personal level. I proudly consider him my spiritual brother. Some of his book recommendations have deeply influenced me for the better, and I hope you will take some good vitamins for your soul from today's episode. Let's dive in. My dear brother, thank you so much for finding time. And finally, when you are at home, after traveling last 11 months and you are finally sitting there, you find time to come to ChessMood Podcast. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Avo. And I think we must tell our viewers that we tried doing this 2 years ago unsuccessfully, where we recorded half the podcast and then due to some technical reasons, sound didn't get recorded or something like this. And so I'm very glad that that didn't work out because now we can talk and it's fresh. I think we both have learned new things and new things to share.
Yeah. It was like one of my favorite episodes. And I was so excited. I was even writing articles, takeaways from the episodes. And then my team said, Avo, there is a problem with sound. And we tried with AI to come back with brute support, but it didn't work, unfortunately. And last time when we met each other in Budapest, that's what Amruta told. Said like, okay, now he is very different. Every month Sagar is changing. And really myself, like every time we talk, I see new ideas, I see new Sagar, and I'm always excited to talk to you. So
yes,
thank you very much.
Same here. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Look what I have here. Pen and paper. Because every time you say something that you shake my mind and you say something like I'm like, what? Okay. I need to think about this. This time I came with pen and paper.
This is a lot of pressure. Yeah, I have to say things which you can note down then.
No, I have like proudly consider you as my spiritual brother. You have sent me books that changed not my life, changed me partly profoundly. So now we have the same coach and we have an interesting journey together. And there are so many things to take away. And I think our ChessMood family will take lots of benefits from that. So to start with Sagar, so 11 months, every day working, going, doing, interviewing, writing. And I can understand and I can imagine that there are lots of nights you are sleeping late, lots of mornings you are waking up early, lots of time you don't have to have your lunch and you are having your lunch and working at the same time. True? I imagine, right? There should be days like this a lot. Yeah.
I mean, so, in general, it's different. Like life when traveling is different from life when you are at home. But the thing is, if you bifurcate these two things, like if you say that, okay, this is the life at home and this is the life while traveling, it becomes very difficult to be on the road all the time. So what I realized at some point, and I think it happened maybe just a year ago or so, where I was like, every time I had to travel, I had this kind of thing that I need to finish so many things in order to travel. And it used to create so much pressure on the last day because you had to make phone calls, you had to make pending stuff and all of it. And then I thought to myself that, why am I doing this? Like, what is the reason? There are many things that I can do when I am at another place. Let's say if I am in Waikanze, that doesn't mean I can't talk to anyone. It was just like my mental setup, which was like, once you are at a tournament, you can't do these things. And once you are at home, you can't do these things. So I just broke that kind of barrier. And what I realized is that travel is just a part of the extension of day-to-day life. So now today, if someone asked me to leave in like 1 hour to go somewhere, like I have to come and meet you in 2 hours if I have the visa, it will be just the normal continuation of life. I won't feel like I am I'm breaking up something. So that's the reason why how I am able to travel continuously without getting burnt out.
Yeah, by the way, good idea. Why don't you fly to Armenia tomorrow?
But you get visa on arrival. We spent a few days on mountains. Joking, I will come back to this after the episode. But by the way, one of my mentors has spent time with Richard Branson, one of my favorite entrepreneurs. And the biggest takeaways he came back with was when they asked Richard, Sir Richard, how does he keep the balance like between life and work? And he said, I think it's just nonsense, this balance. It's, if you do something you like, it's just one thing. It's just your life. There is no separation between life and work and balance. Yeah, it's just it's wholeness. It's oneness. And it sounds to me what you said. It's similar that it's you are just it's one life, and it doesn't seems to you just separate work, selling your time. You are just doing what you love, and you are living your life, right?
Yes, I think it's something that I talk to my teammates all the time, which is that work-life balance is only needed if the work that you do is something you don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't enjoy doing the work, then maybe it's not the right place for you to be. You know, you can already go somewhere else and you can. So at this point of time, anyone in Chessbase India has the right to leave the work and go somewhere else. There's no kind of fixated thing that you need to be here, because the most important thing is you are actually spending the minutes and hours of your life. It's like life is unfolding. Yeah, you don't have unlimited time. So why should you be stuck in something that you don't like? So I think this work-life balance is only needed if you are working for some forced reason that, oh, I need to make money from here. And then I have my family. So on weekends, I will spend time with them, which is relaxed. And then I will have Monday blues. And you are not reachable during weekends. And on weekdays, you have this fixed schedule. So like to break all of that, I think is kind of critical, is what I think.
You know, at ChessMod, so we are very careful with our vocabulary, what words we are using, because they are having their impact on our subconscious. Like from very early days, we removed from our vocabulary the words like competitor or competition, and no one could use this word. We don't use the word employee, we use teammate, and there are many words. So one of the words we also removed was work and office. Because that associates with someone, like, because most of the world live like that, going to the office, spending time, so we can do the other things. So we changed that with the office. We changed it with garden. So this is our garden. We all come together. We have trees. We need to water the trees, and then the trees will have fruits, and we take care of this garden. So we are coming to garden, and we are not doing work. We are watering the garden, and we are taking care of the garden.
Nice.
And to just remove. Sagar, tell me.
I have one point of view here. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe it's not so critical, but I have this feeling that, like, changing words or changing environment in general is like an outside-in thing for change in people. And I think this is happening all the time out there. Like, you change something, the way you behave or the way you do it, and then something within you, because you don't use these words, it doesn't evoke the same emotions. And I think it's a very practical way to improve in general. But I'm kind of a bit of a idealistic in that sense. And I feel like change should happen inside out, not outside in. So it's very important to understand this concept deep within. And then it doesn't matter what words are used. It's basically you've changed from inside. So that's how is my thinking. Although, it, in effect, perhaps both have the same meaning, because you are behaving differently, you are thinking differently. But I'm of this thought that inside out change is more permanent, and it doesn't really go away than outside in.
You know, Sagar, the last episode we did together, I sat and worked and I wrote the description of it. I wrote the title and everything I did. Can you guess? 2 years ago when I did, what was the thumbnail of the video?
What was it?
Start Within.
Start Within, yes. Look Within is something that I have kept on my WhatsApp as my...
Look Within.
You know, status. It's been there for now over a year.
Nice. So maybe I will keep the same. Start Within. Are you familiar with Dr. Robert Anthony?
I think so, yes.
He has one book with a horrible title. It's called Beyond Positive Thinking, but okay, with a better subtitle. Not a blah blah, how it's called, not a blah blah how to improve your life or something like this. And it's a very profound book, and it's all about starting inside. It's about the identity, it's at the habits and everything. You should start from within, and in within, if you change, that also works. However, do you agree that while it's very profound to start within, it also can just, so with some tricks, you can start outside, yes, few things until you figure it out inside?
Yes, I think in general, it's very logical to start outside, because starting from within at the very go can become like really heavy, because it's not a way of looking at things since a very young age. Like, we've been constantly looking at the outside world and trying to evolve. So maybe there has to be something that makes you understand the importance of looking within. And perhaps it cannot happen just out of the blue. It could be a podcast, it could be a book, it could be an experience, something of that sort. And then, but at some point, I feel it needs to shift. Like, you cannot constantly be looking outside and changing yourself within. At some point, it should shift. But yeah, I agree with you that when someone starts their journey, perhaps it's much easier to do it the other way.
The Atomic Habits of James Clear that we both read, and last time we were talking about these things, about the habits, one of the things that I found there very interesting is that himself, he wrote that if just trying to change the habits just from the top, it will not have long effect. The best way is to start inside, to change the identity, to look at yourself differently, and then the habits automatically will change, or it will be easier for the habits to change.
Correct. And I think that's the reason why I found that the books which change you as a person are perhaps the most valuable than things which just give you certain tricks and ideas. So it's like in chess terms, if we look at it, it's like these traps and tricks and gambits and stuff, which is very easy to consume, which is actually, as you always keep saying, it's out there on the internet everywhere. And then there are these deeper things which are very difficult to understand, and you need to kind of evolve as a player to understand these concepts. You can't just memorize something and play it. then these are the things which are difficult to learn. And I think just like in chess, in life as well, books which are very easy, like 10 techniques to improve your life or 7 habits to change your life, are much more selling than something like, you know, Change Yourself Within, or, you know, New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, or some other books of Krishnamurti, or all these books, because these are the books which do not come with a promise that you will change. They come with deep insights, deep points, and it's up to you whether you want them or not.
But at the same time, it should be at a certain consciousness level, right, to understand that.
Yes, that's true. But I believe that someone has to help people reach there. Perhaps you are doing it in your own way. You are helping people through your newsletters, through your people whom you get in touch with. And then at some point, they have to go on this journey on their own. So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, about 7 years ago, it was when I took Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now. And after finishing that, I wrote a Facebook on the Facebook, and I wrote this. Have you ever read a book that you felt, oh, I should have done it earlier? And have you ever read a book that you felt you read it early? So
in general, the way in which I've read and experienced things in last 2 years, or 2.5 years, makes me wonder how different I was before that. Like, I seriously cannot recognize many of the things that I was doing, or the way I was speaking, or the way I was. But I have never felt like, oh, I should have read that before. I feel like everything led to this point. I don't think I would have read these things if at some point I was not like, this is too much. Yeah, I can't live life this way. And perhaps that helped in reaching there.
Yeah. The Eckhart's Power of Now was opposite for me. I felt I was not there yet to understand the book. That's what I wrote there. And after years, when I took it back, I guess it was 1 or 2 years ago, it was so clear, everything. So understandable, like it's completely, I'm reading every word. Back then, 7 years ago, I was reading like almost Chinese, understanding few things, not understanding many things. And I remember when I asked we were talking about the ego things, and I told you that this was the book order that I recommend people to read about the ego. And you said, like, maybe no, maybe it depends on the consciousness level. I remember that. And the book that you told me then, it was The Surrender Experiment, that you said it has big impact on you, and this is how you live. And that's the book I read 1.5, 2 years ago, just before our episode, unsuccessful episode, to understand you better before the interview. And I want to go a little bit more there. So it was 2 years ago, the Surrender Experiments, giving yourself to the universe. Now, after about 2 years, do you still live that way?
Yes, more and more. Actually, the way in which this all happened was in 2023. I was like leading, everything was normal. And in somewhere in, I think it was January 2023, I got an email or a message from a friend saying, here's a link, you can sign up on this thing. And I clicked on the link, and it said, it's a walk around the river Narmada. It's a very beautiful river in India. And I was like, why would I do this? And it was called like the Personal Mastery Program or something of this sort, where there will be a group of people who will walk around the river, and you will try to sort of master certain things about you. And I was unsure, but somehow it was like 2 a.m. in the night, and I just filled the form. I put my name and I said, okay, whatever happens will happen, because it was not like I would get selected. There would be an interview and stuff like this, because there were spots only for 12 people. As it turned out, I got selected, and then I had to go. And I think it was the first ever time that I didn't go to a tournament fully. Like, generally, in terms of how I like to cover events, most of the journalists or people who cover an event come towards the end, because that's where the champion would be found. That's where, you know, you can do more interviews. But I just like to be there from day one to understand the full tournament, because there's always things happening from day one. And this was, I think, one of the first times. This was WR Chess that was happening in Germany, that I went halfway mark because this walk came in. And I don't even know why I changed. I took such a big decision. I just felt like, oh, I should go there. And the walk was really interesting because it was done by a person who is now my friend. His name is Sujit. And he is, I think you will go there, Avo, in October, perhaps in Italy. He does it in India and Italy. So I basically, in that entire walk, the idea was that you spend 8 days without anything that you have, like no money, no gadgets, no books, just a bag with some clothes and yourself, and you're walking along the river. And for me, this was insane. Like, as you know, the day before I reached there, I was working crazily because it's like 8 days with no phone, nothing. How will all the team members do? What will Amruta do? And so on. And so I was working crazily. And when I reached there, I still remember the first question asked was, how do you feel? What is your check-in word? And I said, exhausted. This was my word that was there. And the next 8 days were just insane. Like, I just realized that you needed absolutely nothing to be happy. You could stay. We were sleeping on the floor in the ashrams, and we were walking along the river, and it was beautiful weather. The river was flowing. There were like animals there and so on. And you would, and I could basically just connect to myself in that entire 8 days, in a very different way. There were many things that I thought about and did. And one of the things that happened was my relationship with food changed a lot. Like, I think we have this very big habit of having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And someone said, like, okay, this is how it should be. And then everyone's following it. And for me personally, it started happening that, how am I feeling right now? Am I feeling hungry? Should I eat right now? How much should I eat? So it was not very time dependent anymore. It was more like how I was feeling. So everything started becoming inside out rather than outside in. And the same thing happened, which you speak about, that the books which seemed completely uninteresting started making a lot of sense. For example, there's this book by Gandhiji. It's called My Experiments with Truth. And I had read it before. But when I was going to this WR Chess, which was like a day after I came back from the walk, I said, okay, I'll pick up this book and I'll read. And I still remember I was reading it at the, I think it was the airport, Dusseldorf. I was going there. And I could actually relate to his experiments that he was doing, which was with food. He was not eating his food and so on. So I realized, like, certain things which you don't understand, perhaps it's because you may not have that level of understanding. It's the same in chess, for example. Books of Dvoretsky are not going to make sense for an 1800 player. What would make sense for a 2200 player, and so on. So in that sense, when I came back, I started reading a lot of books. One of the books that made a huge impact on me was Seven Mystical Laws of Abundance. This is by Sujit himself, who this book is very interesting because I've given it to many people and I've received many different feedback from people. But it absolutely changed my life because I learned so many different things from it. And then came this book, Surrender Experiment, because when I spoke with my very good friend Vidit on the call, he told me, something is different with you, Sagar. I cannot understand, like, you know, the way you are speaking and so on. And I said, yeah, maybe it's because of the walk, perhaps. And he said, you know, I have a book to recommend for you, which is called The Surrender Experiment. And he actually gifted me this book. And there are two people in my life who have always been gifting books to me. One is Vidit, the other is Ashwin. Both of them have actually helped me start reading stuff. And because of them, I have gifted maybe hundreds of books to others. So big thank you to them. And when this book arrived, I was in this phase where I was reading New Earth by Eckhart Tolle and Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And Eckhart Tolle's book had all these theories, like, you know, the ego. And he would write about how it is impacting you as a human being and how the need of the hour is for you to give up your ego. And there are many concepts there. And Surrender Experiment is the guy who is living it practically. He's given up his ego. He's into the world of service. He's trying not to double guess what his mind is saying. He's just kind of going with the flow of the universe and so on. And both these books kind of made me understand, oh, this is the theory. This is how you live in practical terms. And I think both books remain like huge inspirations to me. So, yeah, that's how the Surrender Experiment book worked.
So the Surrender Experiment that Vidit was recommended to you, then you recommended to me.
Yes.
And you said that Ashwin is giving books. So when we were in Budapest, when I met Ashwin first time in real life, he was just my student for years. So we met finally, and he came with a book. The book name was Nomad No Lotus, like the exact book I needed at that moment. And he said that's the favorite book of Vidit, and Vidit has recommended it to him, so it came to me. And do you know that the New Earth, it came not from Ashwin, but it came from Ashwin's daughter.
Yes. Yes, this so I know. Ashwin's daughter loves this book immensely. She has also gifted it to many people, many chess players. And I think Ashwin, and I think he's now become more and more popular in the chess world. But he's someone who I exemplify as a person who is there for you to help you in whichever situation you are. And I think very few people are there in this world like this. So for me, Ashwin is very, very inspiring.
100%. By the way, I hope in my mind he will be our next guest at Chess Mode episodes. So our students will also see who is this Ashwin.
Yes.
He's such a brilliant person. And for the context of our listeners, the work Sagar was talking about with Sujit, this is the work that Sagar, my spiritual brother, recommended to me. I also applied there a year ago. And Sujit, we had a call with Sujit, and he said, it's better for you to go not to India work, but to Italy work. And hopefully it's in 25 days. So I'm figuring out the things with the visa, and hopefully I will go to that work. Yeah, and I will come back.
I hope you are able to do it, because I think... it was nice for me. Again, this is another thing which I've realized is that there are no absolute things that work. Like certain books which I liked may not be particularly great for someone else. And especially it happens in these books where you are trying to change from within or experiences which help you grow from within. It works in different ways for different people. And so I'm just... going to say, like, this is what helped me, but I don't know if particularly it will help mm-hmm. you or not. It is for you to decide.
Yeah. No, come on, makes complete sense. Just as you brought the example, yeah, the chess books, every book exactly. are for a separate level. By the way, this is what we are doing with our AI coach that we are working on. So it will give a very personalized study plan based on your weaknesses and strengths. So that idea that I told you last time, that maybe one day we will make with the AI to give all this spiritual awakening and starting the journey with AI, which it will recommend yes. books and sources based on your consciousness level. That would be funny and so useful,
yeah,
I guess, for
what
the humanity.
You are building with AI in chess mode is very exciting. And also, I was so amazed that you are trying to learn AI. You know, you are a grandmaster, you are a chess trainer. But what I've realized seeing your journey is that whatever will help you to sort of bring a change in life of people, you will do that. So if it means traveling somewhere for many days to just meet someone and convince them to work with Chess Mode, or if it means like, you know, studying AI so that you can build something that is of value to the chess community. You are doing all of this, which is incredible.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you very much. Thank you. I like, as we talked about yesterday, that it's often at the end of the journey that is important, and what we are learning during the journey, how we are growing, the people we are connecting. And I liked very much that you said, now that you are doing it just basically every day, everything, it's just, you are just going the journey. It's not just the work you are doing, it's the journey you are going and seeing where it will take you. Sagar, let's talk about this, that it might blow minds to many people. We will maybe shake. There is this thing that I was questioning in my brain, and yesterday we talked and you said, no, it's absolutely that way. So about the discipline, that so many books and ways about discipline, doing things disciplined way. And you said something like, fix me if I don't say your words, it was like torturing your body or torturing yourself. The discipline can do harm. Tell me about this more, how discipline can hurt.
Yeah, so we spoke a little bit about this just few minutes ago, about outside in and inside out. And I think anything that you don't understand, you would do it like outside in. So I feel like discipline or forming habits and so on are all outside in things. For example, there are so many movies in which we see that an athlete actually does not succeed. And then there is this phase where they are like super low. And then they tell themselves that we will, come what may, we will achieve this. And so what they will do next, and this is the most inspiring part of the movie generally, is the athlete goes on training, and then there is this, different kind of scenes, and you get really inspired. Like, you know, your hair stands up, you get goosebumps, and it has happened to me as well. And then that person goes on and achieves the goal of maybe a gold medal or winning a tournament and so on. And this is really cool, what you see. But then what perhaps happens next is not shown, right? It's like a complete loss of motivation, because you've achieved what you wanted to do. And many times you have to search for another goal that is there. And so you move from one goal to another until a point comes when you start thinking that, okay, I don't have any more goals left. What am I doing? And so it becomes like an habit. It's like you have to fix something and then work towards it. You need to get disciplined. You need to form habits to achieve this. And while this is a very, very normal way to live, and perhaps it's how maybe many, many people live, I feel like, can we not sort of shift it in another way? Can we not say that I am doing something because I like doing it, and you should really like it? Because if you don't like it, you can't fake to yourself. You can fake it for a few days, but then at some point you will be like, okay, I don't feel like doing it anymore. So it has to kind of, you have to find something that you love really deeply. It has to have meaning in your life, what you are doing. The why question, which is basically, I think many people ask, start with why. So you find that. And then eventually life has to shift towards the how, which is like, and I think that's a very important question. Like, how are you doing things? And so it then starts happening. And I want to reach that stage. Perhaps I haven't reached that totally. Is that the why and the what becomes completely irrelevant. What really matters then to you is the how. Because how you do something is the most important. Whether be it, you know, spending time with your loved one, whether doing a big business deal, whether eating your food or filling water, which I have to do every day at home. And all of these things are actually very important from the perspective of your inner growth, of how you can be alive every single moment to anything that you do. It's like you're training yourself to be in the present every single moment. So once you kind of are in that zone, then perhaps the habits or the discipline is not needed, because everything that you do is flowing out of love. And so that love, being in that present moment, is so, so powerful that there is no burnouts, there is no tiredness, there's no conflict, basically, that why am I doing this? Okay, I don't need to do this. But next day you're like, oh, I need to win the gold medal. And then you wake up and then you again do it. And then you again, after 5 days, you collapse. And I think this has been kind of romanticized in general, this way of living. And I think it's only human. Like people say, this is only human to live this way. But I guess the real human way to live is through love. Like you can do something with a very sustained feeling of positivity and love if you manage to be in that space. And perhaps it's not so easy to be in that space. There are no particular techniques as such to be there. But if you are in the right, if you are doing something that means to you a lot, if you love doing it, if you are enjoying, and then perhaps it's possible.
The ideas that I was brainstorming myself quietly, it was a dangerous idea. I could not talk to many people because I would get pushback. But I was brainstorming like last year, maybe. It was, if you need for something lots of disciplines and habits for going there, maybe it's just a call to action from your body and your soul and your heart that you should just stop that. It's just, they are protesting against that. So it was like, okay, the same way, if you read Stoicism, there are lots of things about discipline, about that, yeah. And I was like, maybe we were learned also this way from very child, from childhood, yeah. You need to have discipline, wake up this, go there every day, da, da, da. And then I was like, maybe it's not fully true. And maybe whenever you need too much discipline, it's just, you need to think about, huh, maybe I should just change somewhere else. And I have a close friend who for a long time, he needs lots of discipline. Of course, as you said, he's collapsing sometimes, coming back, but needs lots of discipline and systems. And this is also something he's teaching to his students and his audience. And I was questioning this. Is it really good or not to have so many discipline and things when it doesn't come within and you start torturing yourself?
Yes, I think it's a very interesting point to discuss, and it also depends on your level at which you want to reach. I mean, where do you want to be in life? Like, for example, if you are at, say, 1 and you want to go to 2, these techniques do help, and you know, you will be able to improve your many things. So then many people see this as like, okay, there is an improvement in me. I'm able to earn more. I'm able to feel more fit and so on. So personally, I see this is the way in which many people measure improvement in their life. So even when we are very young, I think as parents, when they want to tell something to the kids, they need to say it in a way that's understandable. And I think discipline is easier to understand then let's say saying that, can you figure out if you are enjoying this? Are you loving it? Because that means that the parent has to trust the kid, you know, more than telling what to do. And in that, perhaps is the danger that the kid is saying something, you know, like, I am enjoying this a lot. And the parents are like thinking with their mind that perhaps this has no future and so on. And so our society is built in a way where discipline is considered as, in a way, it kind of gives you a path, right? And finding paths are important in general. But if you are able to kind of do away with that and have no paths, no techniques, no systems, and you are able to kind of live this with love, basically, I think love is that kind of sentiment which has no side effects. Once you have love in your heart, you won't burn out. You won't feel like there's some side effect at the end of it. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's just amazing. And so if that is the state that you can reach, which is maybe not 1 or 2, but at level 10, maybe somewhere there, then perhaps it's amazing to go there. And to reach there, it's like maybe reaching where Magnus Carlsen is, right? Like, not many people want to be there. But if someone wants to, then they have to give up on certain techniques, certain ways. And this we see all the time at the top level. And you will be seeing this, that they learn many things. They learn tremendous number of techniques and theories and so on. And at some point, you just drop all of them because you need to be in that moment and you need to kind of synthesize all the knowledge and everything and use your intuition and everything and come up with something that's totally different in that particular moment. And yeah, then you become a player who is like, let's say, Magnus or Fischer or Vishyanand or someone like that.
Just to understand it better, you have spent so many times with top players and interviewed so many of the best. Who are from the top players who you think are not using any discipline, are not you are they are just doing whatever it's coming from inside?
I think
from what you have seen, from what you have felt.
I don't know very deeply every single player, but I do know that Magnus is someone who kind of lives in a way which is very different from perhaps all the top players. I know that there are times when Magnus needs his break. He doesn't want to do chess. He doesn't want to do anything, be it he doesn't want to be productive. He just wants to be in nature, walking, like having that free time to himself. And perhaps that is where he's kind of reigniting himself, you know, that thing which is needed for him. And perhaps Magnus doesn't think of it this way, that he's trying to be in the present or anything of that sort. But somehow he's there, you know, like when you are in the game, he's in that state of flow. You will ask many times see him saying, today before I came to the board, I knew that today is not going to be my day. He senses it, you know, more and more. So I do think that he's someone who's not really a man of habits, a man of techniques. He's someone who is more, maybe he uses them, but he has his own kind of sense of things. And perhaps that's the reason why no one is able to reach where he is. Because if there was a technique, if there was something that he was following, then people would do it and reach there. But it's much deeper. He has this love for chess. You give him a book, he can just read it. Like even now, when I see him somewhere, he's taken some book. And I'm thinking to myself, why is Magnus even reading this book? Like, what will he get? I think I met him in 2019 at Lindores Abbey, and he was given this book of Mikhail Tal by Tal's son had given him. And by the end of the tournament, he had finished that book. And I was thinking to myself, like, does he even need it? But I think for him, reading these books, kind of he synthesizes them in a different way and he loves it. So he doesn't have to be forced. There's no discipline. And he said this on Joe Rogan's podcast as well. That while other kids needed some incentive or motivation to learn chess and do it, I just loved it. So that was what I could only think about it all the time. It's playing in my head and so on. So perhaps we don't need a better example here. Yeah, like Magnus is there. He's reached the top. He keeps winning everything. And so he's a good example of it.
Well, yeah. It's also so interesting, even in companies, in businesses. It's often the best ones that are just going very quickly. Usually the founders are just, they don't need motivation. They just do it automatically. Remember when people are asking me how I was waking up at 4 a.m. when I was starting the chess mode. So I was playing from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. poker and then 12 hours building chess mode, how I could survive. But for me, it was like not that difficult. I was just waking up happily doing without, I never used snooze. Like to snooze, and it was like automatically waking up and going. Yeah? So, Sagar, what's the thing that keeps you going so easily for so many years?
I don't know. I think at different points it was different. I cannot say that right from day one I was filled with this really amazing feeling that I want to act out of love all the time. I want to do what is the right thing for the ecosystem. So at some point, it was all about survival. It was at the start of Chessbase India, whether we will survive, whether we will be able to pay our dues and so on. So fear played a role at some point that, you know, we need to find new things of doing stuff. And there was this constantly extrinsic motivation that, oh, I need to earn money and so on. So as you rightly said, yeah, like it was outside in. It was things which were certain things that were pushing me. And then this is how the journey went. This is how it evolved. And then at constantly, you keep feeling it, right? You get these highs and lows. And as our very good friend and mentor, Uncle Rao says, life is this sinusoidal curve of ups and downs, of happiness. And I think I was facing this all the time in what I was doing. And so there was, I think the biggest shift happened when I realized that when I started working with more and more team members, I just couldn't handle it anymore. Like, you know, I had this innate thing that I want to work and I want to give my best. But the other people with whom I was working were all the time unpredictable. Someday they would work, someday they would not, someday. And I used to be like, how can I ever live this way? Because the team was growing. Yeah, at that point, we were maybe 15 people or 20 people and so on. And I realized that I was going in this really bad state. When I would go to sleep, when I would wake up with like sweat and all and so on. And I used to wonder, what is that guy doing and what is this guy doing and so on. And perhaps at that point, this shift happened. Yeah, like I went to the walk, I started reading these things and so on. And since then, I've been super, super inspired by many different ways of living. And I've seen this change in myself that I don't need to build a successful business or something. And I mean, these are all things which will happen if they have to happen. What is super important for me is to change myself, to become this kind of extremely pure version of myself, which is to take out any impurities, negative energy, anger, hatred, jealousy, competition, even ambition, all of these things, and become like have this feeling of love within me. And then just see what comes through it. Like once you change that, then you keep going. And that's my journey. Right now, this is what keeps me really, really inspired. And I feel like Chessbase India is my spiritual kind of spiritual way of living, because it keeps throwing challenges at me all the time. It keeps questioning my long-held beliefs, my inner conditioning for so many years. And I need to basically figure a way to overcome my what I have been used to doing for years. So I love this part about Chessbase India. And another, so there are two, I think, who, and I keep saying this, one is Chessbase India and other is Amruta. She is also my spiritual partner, mm-hmm. and she helps me to grow as a human being.
We'll come back in a second to Amruta. The thing that it's like, for, because that part I can understand how your loved person can do that. But tell me how Chessbase India is challenging your old beliefs. This journey, how does it happen?
Every single time, like for example, when you work with people, as I said, I used to always be like, what's happening? Oh, and all of this. So it's like my conditioning, right? Like I want people to work and give their best and so on. Sometimes I can't see it. And so I need to outgrow this kind of mindset. I need to uncondition myself. I need to be in that loving space. There are collaborations and partnerships that are needed in the world of chess. And all the time I was like, what is it they're in for me? And so on. So when you realize that actually it's nothing but all of us are working together to grow the ecosystem, it becomes like... It became very clear to me at some point that the word competition doesn't exist actually. It means that there is someone else in that same ecosystem who is actually helping you, just that they have a different entity, they have a different structure, and my mind can't really see them as being part of me or part of Chessbase India. And when that change started to happen, I could actually think about partnerships or collaborations in a much more different way than thinking all the time, what's in it for me? What will I get? Or what? And this has helped a lot. Like right now, we try to do the right thing for the ecosystem. So the ecosystem, building the ecosystem earlier was always the dream, but now it feels like the right thing to do. If chess can grow, it would be the most amazing thing. I know that perhaps I have to think in a bigger sense, like what's right for the planet, what's right for humanity. Maybe that will also come. But for now, it's reached that stage where I talk about what's right for the chess ecosystem. And I do constantly think about humanity. An example of this is I completely feel that emotions like fear and guilt should never be thrown from your side to anyone on this planet. So for example, let's say earlier when I would be dealing with some team member and they would not do some work, it was natural for me to say something that would make them feel guilty, which would make them feel like why they did not do it. And I used to think that maybe through guilt, they will improve certain things. And I realized that this ability to give guilt to others can only come when I have the feeling of guilt within me. The moment I free myself of it, I can never give it to someone else. And so this entire journey of when someone does something wrong, like it's very clear that maybe let's say we've done an interview with a top player and the sound didn't get recorded. And, you know, the first thing is to tell the other person, how could you do it? Like, what is this? And, you know, you need to be more careful. Do you understand the repercussions of this, the relationship with the player? What will he or she think about us and so on? And then that comes guilt. And through guilt, if there is an improvement, then that's again not an improvement really, because it came from something extrinsic. But when you don't have the guilt, you are like, okay, I understand. Maybe let's work on this. And there is a possibility for the other person to improve in a different way through understanding that, hey, I needed to do this and so on through love. And so this entire journey of Chessbase India has taught me these things, like in different places, like remove the aspect of competition, the jealousy. You know, competition is nothing but your search for power. You want to bring forth yourself in the world saying, I want to dominate people. I want power over others. I want to be someone in this world. I can't be a nobody. And this thing of becoming a nobody, trying to move there, is something that I'm learning. It's a journey. And so whenever I see in this journey something that makes me feel a little bit negative from within, like, oh, this is not good, or this is something happening, I quickly question myself, like, what part of me is bringing this emotion out? And can I actually get rid of that? Can I, through understanding, yeah, there's no real technique. So I want to actually reach a stage where intellectually I don't understand that jealousy is bad. So there's a jealous feeling and then I can part away with it. But I want to be such that if I come into a moment, that jealousy doesn't sprout at all.
Well, now I have some other questions. I'm just keeping them all in my mind.
This was, I think, a very long...
No, it was deep. It was deep at the monologue. Same time. It was deep at the same time. But tell me this. So you just said that competition is problematic thing, right? And I completely agree with you. And I see this more and more in the content creation, where lots of people came from competition, from playing chess. And now instead of two YouTube channels, instead of cooperating together, they are just competing because this is how they used to do. So you said that competition is bad, it's unhealthy, the competition, it's about me dominating the world. And I guess you will agree that
chess is nice, beautiful game, but it also harms lots of people. They start to competing, they start to have these goals, I need to have 500 points, Grandmaster. They make these goals and they kind of agree that until I don't make my goal, I will be unhappy. They are playing bullet on all night and coming stressed. They are losing the game, tournament, coming stressed, putting this bad emotion into family, harming their loved people, etc. Yeah. So there is also lots of downsides in the chess, yeah, which is one of the reasons that I'm writing so many articles. That right now I could ask you lots of questions about your interaction with Vishy Anand and some chess things, but we are talking about these deep things that I hope like some people will take and change something within and do yeah. the chess journey their life differently. And at the same time, next to this,
if I have competition to just add one thing here. And what I added is, if that thing is like this, like chess is like this, or running a company is like this, it can become a means to remove these things of comp. Like at some point you have gained them because you didn't have this understanding when you began. But at some point you can get rid of this in the journey. So perhaps in that sense, chess also can become your spiritual journey that no, I want absolutely. To get rid of. All of this.
Absolutely. But that way it can be anything. It can be chess, it can be running, yes. it can be your daily anything. Work or your relationship, anything
Absolutely.
Can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, that's why the what and why is not that important. It's how. Perhaps okay. that.
All right. So at the same time, you say that you are doing for ecosystem and lots of people are more people are playing chess, and that would be amazing, the word you used. Yeah. Why it would be amazing? Because I have this interesting question. if tomorrow everyone in the world is playing chess and it brings lots of negative things to their life yeah, at the same time. And at the same time, you said that how is important. If they are playing and they are just really enjoying it and it's every day is bringing them joy, fun and love to their heart. All right, fun. Like this is let's everyone do the way that people will play chess and the world will be better. Yeah. But in chess, there are lots of negative things that people are bringing through chess to their lives. Yeah. Why it would be amazing that more and more people will play chess?
Yeah. So this is the point. Like, as you said, the dream is that we can make more and more people play chess in this conscious way, which is then going to impact their life in another way. So I realized that chess is something that resonates deeply with me. I don't know why. And maybe it's because I learned it as a kid and I got good at it and this. So maybe it became something that has become kind of a means to bring about a change in the world. And I actually started to understand that I'm very serious about it. So I started to think, what are the things I can do where this doesn't just remain a theory, but actually becomes something in practical sense. So in that sense, we started something called as the Big Chess Summer Camp or the Big Chess Camp that I call it. And the idea was a group of trainers in a specific area come together to build some sort of sheets, you know, test one, test two, sheet one, sheet two, sheet three, and so on. And so first of all, there's collaboration between these people. It's like they all have to work together. Then you create a space where people come in. There's no entry fee. It's like you have tables and chairs and there are sheets at the start. And you have volunteers who want to help and teach people. So there. So in that space, when someone enters, they start solving. And the solving of the sheet has to be done by them at their own speed. There's no one teaching them. Okay, if you don't know the rules of chess, someone will show you like this is how the rook moves and so on. But here's your first sheet. You solve it. And then the volunteer you call, they correct it and give you the next sheet. So in this entire thing, which was designed like kind of I was thinking, I realized that herein lies few things, few concepts that are very deep in my heart. One is that there is free transfer of knowledge. You know, you have knowledge. You're giving it to everyone. You are a volunteer. You are a trainer. Even the students there, you would see when they are doing things, they realize someone's not finding something. They'll go and help. In that entire space, which is close to 100 people, we do it at the mall here. I realized that there was so much of positivity and beauty. No one would get upset. no one would have any anger. And I realized that chess was just a means. What we are doing here is actually igniting this beautiful spirit of camaraderie, of helping each other, of love and knowledge transfer and so on. So this was one thing that we built. And I feel like this is the other thing we did was Temple of Chess, which was in the a place which is open every single day of the week, 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., absolutely free with 1,000 books. And when you enter that space, you realize that no one wants anything from you. It's just a space where you enter and it's there for you. And people start to think like, why? Why did someone do this? And when they come out of the space, they feel like, can I do something like this for someone? It was nice. This was a great experience. And so again, creating this kind of certain things which will ignite these elements. It's not like I'm going and talking about these things everywhere. Maybe I will, like this podcast is one way of speaking, but can you create these experiences? And I felt chess is ideal. Like there's also another thing we started called Teach Chess India, which is a volunteer-based thing. I always felt that a company as a setup can be amazing, can be beautiful, but at some point there is a hierarchy. You have someone right there at the top calling the shots. No matter how much you don't want to, they will decide whether someone will remain, not remain. They will have their vision. Can you create something where everyone's equal? Like there's no hierarchy. So I wanted to create something where each human being is equal. And there's no one who says, this is the way to do it. If there's no one who says, can you do this or can you do that? Or, you know, if you would like to do it, you do it. That's the basic thing. And so we started this Teach Chess India, which is a volunteer-based program. Everyone is a volunteer, including myself. And you go and teach. You go and teach in places where, like, children's home. You go and teach in, like, public schools or municipality schools which don't have enough resources. Or you go and teach in old age homes, cancer homes. And when you go to teach there, one of the things that, and we have this document, a mission document, which says, no ego, love. You basically don't try to force things there. Basically, you leave that notion that you want to achieve something. You go there with the thought that I'm going to be in the present and give whatever I have there, you know, like. And so through chess, perhaps, all of these things I find is a very ideal way to connect to the world. Because you're not going, let's imagine I say today I'm going to a children's home and I'm going to talk about love. Tough to get everyone there. But if I say I'm going to come and play chess, then everyone's like, okay, great, let's play chess. And through your conduct, the way you are, the way you speak with people, maybe you can bring a change in their consciousness. You can bring the love in their life.
I understand. So then tell me, in the chess temple, there are 1,000 books. There are all chess books?
Yes.
Why not? Why you don't have other books as well, like Michael Singler's Eckhart Tolle? Because yes. if you are talking about the conduct, that true chess, you are trying to help lives, then maybe 10% at least, there should be other books.
I was thinking of these books, but also having like maybe beyond these chess timings, 1 to 8 p.m., perhaps certain talks on these subjects, reading out of these books by J. Krishnamurti or Eckhart Tolle and so on. And I have these ideas in my mind, which I want to do it. But I can tell you one thing. It's extremely difficult to live or to create something of this sort because the consciousness of our community works in a specific way. They want, like parents want some structure. Send a kid to a class where it's mentioned that there are 10 sessions and you will reach here. And they like this. They like this. And somehow the Temple of Chess has no structure. It's there, everything. It has to come from within. So if I want quantity, if I want Temple of Chess to be bustling with thousands of people, it's an incorrect thinking. It's like I'm fooling myself. But over there, I can find people who will have similar kind of way of thinking, who come there regularly, who, and maybe there is some gold or some gem hidden in these things that are created, you know. So that's how I look at it.
No, completely agree then. With that, completely agree. But by the way, the if you put like 10% of the books, that's the part where 10% of the guests might go and pick some individual books that it was good for their consciousness level, and you do that.
I'll the do same this. Way. Yeah, well, I think maybe in the next few days I will put those books there.
Yeah. Okay. Send me the picture then. I'm happy to contribute some books too. And now that you said it, makes sense. Okay, yeah, that if you true chest triangle, makes sense. Because it's the same thing I am trying to do. Like, I don't remember the last time I wrote a chess article, how to improve your pieces. I all my last articles, so there are lots of courses we have that they teach chess and the best way to learn. But at the same time, all the articles, all these podcasts, the interviews I'm doing, they are the other part of the life. And actually, true chess, we are trying to unite the world through chess, to make the journeys better. I remember it was like about 10 years ago when I felt, wait, in the world, many things are going wrongly. If you look at the people's life, majority is unhappy. Majority is unhappy with their work. Majority is unhappy with their relationships. And there are so many divorces. Kids are unhappy doing the schools and their projects, like every, and then all this on majority of the people who are unhappy, they are teaching the others how to live. The people who are unhappy in their relationships, they teach others how to be in relationship. The people who are unhappy in their life, teaching how to do it. And it was then when I started to question just everything, including the discipline. Like, maybe the discipline is not that good. Maybe it should start. And when you need discipline, it's a call to action from your body to stop that. So this is when it started my questioning everything. And it's very difficult because the society fights with you. I can just see people who are listening and turning off now the episode. When we are talking that discipline might be bad, just turning off that, of course, you need to have discipline. Of course, the kids should go do. So that's difficult. I remember, have you read Anthony DeMello?
Yes, this is a book which Uncle Rao recommended to me.
You have not read yet? Yeah.
I have it with me. I have read a few pages.
Already
of it.
Have done. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There is one nice story. It's my favorite. So the God says it's going to be full of water. And so take your waters, take your fruits and go to the mountains. Nobody believes. He said, these waters, what you will drink, you will get insane. So collect your own waters, because these new waters that I will pull the world, it will be you drink and you get insane. So one of the guys believes on this, takes all the waters and everything and goes to the mountain. Nobody believes that. So the God makes, the water came, everyone has nothing else to drink. They are drinking the water and everyone is getting insane. They are getting mad. They are getting crazy. So this guy is living in the mountains. At some point he's getting bored and is going down to see the humanity, what's happened there. And they all are insane. But when these people see this person, they are saying, you are insane. You are mad. And he does know what to do. So he's going back to the top. And here comes the sad part. After some times, he's getting bored himself, coming down, taking that poisoned water and drinking and joining everyone. So it just illustrates that the right path, often it's alone, often it's difficult, but
yes.
you have a choice. You have a choice.
Yes, if the right path is something that you feel deeply about, then I don't think you would need anything to walk on it. If it is, again, inspired extrinsically by some book or by someone saying that it's good, then perhaps even in that path, you will at some point be like, okay, enough. Yeah, I need to drink the water now.
So let me ask you this. Imagine you start feeling more need of discipline, more need of habits, and it doesn't go easily for you to travel so much, to interview so much, to put down, to work with the team, to deliver this and that. You feel like you put external energy. It doesn't come from inside. Yeah. But at the same time, you are the chess-based India Sagar Shah. If we take you out, I don't know what will happen with chess-based India. You and Amruta are just the pillar, yeah? But you feel like something inside just it doesn't work. What will you do? Will you follow yourself and say, okay, so I will continue my journey otherwise?
I personally think like this path that I'm walking, or like this whatever way I'm living, is like a path of no return. I doubt if I will ever be now interested in living the life in a way where there is discipline and there is competition and all of these things. It's just I've realized this is a much better way of living. Like, you feel so much more at peace, you feel so much more relaxed and so on. Maybe the most important thing for me to do is to figure out, is to basically leave away my identity that is there, which is like dropping off my ego in all ways, not extrinsically. Like, I don't need to do that by saying, hey, I'm not Sagar Shah anymore, but internally, basically. And one of the things is to realize that everything is impermanent, including chess-based India, including all that I am good at, basically. I will not be. And I think a lot of pain in the world comes from the fact that people feel that they are good at something and they will continue being good at that for many, many years to come, and for endlessly, like permanence, basically. And just embracing this impermanence, which again I've not mastered, but I understand it at an intellectual level very deeply, but I have to kind of bring it in my within my soul, which is that, yeah, this is not forever. Nothing is forever. So then why worry at all? And I don't want to, like, the thing is, if you constantly keep feeling you're good at something and then it's going away, you're constantly trying to cling at it. Like, oh, I can't do. And when you are actually okay with it, you will realize that you're ready to let it go. But also beautiful things start happening. Someone else who, what you were doing, comes in and starts doing that. And you are able to mentor people and you're able to help them grow and so on. And this is what is this beautiful journey all about, I guess. To not be like, I am doing this all the time and I have to continue doing this so that it adds a lot of, so that people actually know me or love me or, you know, all of this. I have to also go away from that.
The earlier days, as you said, it was fight for survival for the chess-based India to cover the salaries and everything. Yeah. Can you tell a few words? How is it now? Like, how chess-based India is doing? I don't know it, too many details. Are you in peace or still there are things you need to do because it's shaky? How is happening there? Because I have heard that there are some changes in overall chess ecosystem, and often the tournaments, the organizers, they want some fees so you will be able to put their cameras and show. How this all is affecting and how is things happening?
No, in general, I feel like chess as a sport is growing rapidly. So the entire space in which we are is very volatile in that sense, where things are moving. Like at this point, while we are talking, there is the main FIDE World Championship cycle with candidates, Grand Swiss, World Cup and so on. And then there is the freestyle chess, and now the eSports World Cup has come in, and the online chess space. And like, this is actually the most beautiful period for chess in one way, because I think if I have this ambition of covering every single tournament and every single top player, then I might be the busiest person out there, because one tournament ends and the next begins. Like, there has not been an end to this right from the Olympiad. Like, we did Olympiad, WR Chess, and then we went to, I think, Global Chess League, and then from there to the next event. I mean, or maybe Global Chess League, WR Chess, and then, you know, I know this because I've been there every single event, like Waikanze and Prague Masters and Freestyle Chess and so on. So I feel like where we are heading in chess is unclear right now. What's going to happen? Which one will become the most important thing in the chess world? Or will everything coexist and so on? So everyone's trying to evolve in this space. And everyone has this difficulty of survival, you know, that is there. And so it's the same for us. It's the same situation where things are not stable. It all the time is something you think is going to last. Suddenly something happens and no, it's not. You need to change. And so you can't have that feeling that, oh, I've set this up and this will work forever. Like, I have this channel now and the ad revenue is going to come in and we will all be fine. No, it's like something will change and suddenly you won't have access to certain events and so on. So in general, we are not like stable as a company. Like, everything is good. We make profits. We are doing very well. Everyone has gets their salary and so on. But with the changing ecosystem, it could very well be that we have to adapt ourselves. So one of the things that happens, as you pointed out, was tournament organizers charging fees for the rights to cameras and so on. So we need on our own to find ways to monetize this. Like, if we get the cameras, we paid for it. Now, can we find people who will benefit from our reach that is there? Or can we find sponsors and so on? So in this, what we are trying to do is explore here. Like, earlier I was like, okay, they are not charging me. I am doing my thing. I'm doing. But because now that happens, I have to find certain companies, certain people in the in outside the chess ecosystem as well, who might see the synergy of the chess viewers watching this and so on. So it's a new phase. And I believe once we crack this, something else will happen. Then we will crack that. So it's an endless loop.
Continuously. Yeah.
And there's no need to kind of be worried about survival is what I realized.
So if someone wants to help somehow, donations or organize or sponsor something, how do they reach out to your team and offer support? How do they do?
Oh, that's very kind of you. There are two things that we do. One is this entire thing, how ChessBase India runs. And if anyone wants to support, then there is contact at chessbase.in. You can write to us there and I would get to know about your intention to help. And the other is Help Chess, which we have, which is something that I myself can't believe the way it is growing. It's a not-for-profit. It's basically a charitable trust where all the money we get, every single penny is used to help chess players. Right now, we help Indian chess players. And so there are these young talents in need of training, in need of funds, in need of travel, funds for traveling. And so we support that. And last year, we were able to raise close to $200,000.
Wow. With Help Chess.
With Help Chess. And it's part of our every single stream that we do. You will see a small box at below. So when someone contributes, it gives the name there and we call out. And through this crowdfunding, we were able to raise. And there are these companies who have something known as corporate social responsibility, CSR. And they have to contribute to some good cause or something that shows their corporate responsibility. And they can contribute here because we are a trust which has. And so there is a company called QuantBox who gave close to 60 lakh rupees, which is like 800, which is like, how does it? Yeah, $800,000. Yeah, no, sorry. $80,000, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, which is really nice of them.
Indian company, also, yeah?
Yes, it's Singapore, India. They have offices everywhere. They support, like, they are the main sponsors of Arjun Arigaisi. They also have now started supporting Chennai Grandmasters, like Quantbox Chennai Grandmasters. So they do this, and yeah, it's like there is abundance in the field of chess. Like, many people see the work that is being done, and they see the impact it has had, and they are openly supporting it, which is where I find this to be an incredible space.
Super. I'll make sure my teammates put the links there. So, dear listeners, if you want to support, help somehow, Sagar is, to me, it's one of the cleanest and brightest persons, people in the chess world. I'm so proud to have him as my brother. And we like this hours that we are talking at our Chesswood podcast, that we have such talks sometimes. And every time I go, like, new hour. And I very much hope that you will take something to your lives. Sagar, thank you very much, my friend, for coming and sharing your ideas. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to having you next time when you will come, and I will put some of your thoughts you said now, and you will be new Sagar again. And you'll be like, no. Like, that's very exciting.
Thank you, Evo. And there is one, like, many of my, what I think this way has been part of many, many people, many books that I have read and so on. But if there's one person who right now I resonate very deeply, it's with, I keep his book around everywhere. It's J. Krishnamurti. So I read many of his books. In fact, here I have, like, I went to Chennai recently and got all the books of his. These are all his life books where he has given
talks.
Wait,
it's same books or same book?
It's 17 volumes, basically. Of, they're different.
17?
Yeah, it's all his talks written in books format. So I read them. It's like very interesting for me to read what he says. And yeah, it's something that I've been reading since last 2 years, and it's deep enough for me to see, not just understand intellectually, but can I implement it in my day-to-day life? So, yeah, I just wanted the viewers to know. Yes. Thank you for getting me here, Evo, and thank you for this time. And also thank you for all that you are bringing to the world of chess with a very pure heart, with this feeling that you want to create something beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you too, my friend. Hopefully we'll do more things together for the world through chess. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.
Champions, I would love to hear your biggest takeaways. Drop them in the comments below, please. And if you enjoyed the episode and want to support somehow, the best way is to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and share it with one friend. Thank you. Stay awesome, start within, and I will see you in the next episode.